Today's daf is Chulin daf Nun Ches. Good to be back. Let's pick up from daf Nun Zayinim and Beis. We'll pick up from Amar Rav Huna, about 7 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Nun Zayinim and Beis. It says the Gemara Amar Rav Huna, Simin the Trefa Yud Beis Chodesh. A simin that an animal is a trefa is if it survives 12 months, then you know it's not a trefa, because a trefa cannot survive 12 months. So, frankly, the Gemara Meisvei, we have a brisa that goes through different shitos about what's an indicator of a trefa and what's not an indicator of a trefa, and we see clearly that amongst the shitos and the brisa, there are other time limits that are placed, and 12 months is not the time limit. The brisa says similar trefa kol she nioledes. First, we have the shita that tells us in the brisa that the similar trefa is any animal that's unable to give birth. Now, it doesn't really mean that any animal that cannot give birth is automatically a trefa. There are plenty of animals that, for a variety of reasons, cannot have offspring and are still not a trefa. But rather, as Tosos points out, yesh kama behemos shapos. Plenty of animals that stop having offspring, and we don't consider them trefos. What it means to say is that if it does have offspring, then you know that it's not a trefa. But it doesn't necessarily work in the reverse, the way the Gemara formulates it. It really just means to say that if it does not have offspring, then it's a very strong sign that the animal. It's a definitive sign that the animal is not a trefa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lomer, back in the Gemara, Mishbachas v'holachas b'yodu shikshera. If the animal steadily improves, meaning it suffers some injury, and we're questioning whether that injury makes it a trefa, but the injury improves over time, then it's a kshera. Misnavna v'holachas b'yodu shikshera. But if it continues to degenerate and get worse, then it's a trefa. So that's a simon of a non-trefa. If the animal gets better, it's a simon of a non-trefa. Rabbi Omer, Simon Latrefa Shloshim Yom. Rabbi says, no, the Simon is 30 days. Again, all of these are Simonim of non-trefa. Number one, Tanakama Shita was, if it's able to have offspring, that's a Simon that it's not a trefa, definitively not a trefa. Number two, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if it gets better, it's a definitive Simon that it's not a trefa. And number three, Rabbi, that if it survives 30 days, it's a Simon that it's not a trefa. So Amr Lo, the other Tanaim, said to Rabbi, how can you say that if it survives 30 days, it's a definitive simon that it's not a trefa? There are many animals that survive 2 or 3 years, and they are a trefa. So how can you say that it's definitely not a trefa that survives 30 days? Bottom line, what you see is that according to Rebbe, 30 days is enough to establish that it's not a trefa. And according to the other Tanaim, even 2 or 3 years the animal could survive as a trefa. So nobody seems to hold of Yud Beis Chodesh. So how could Rav Huna, the Amora, say Yud Beis Chodesh is the number when we have Tanaim that discuss this issue and they clearly don't hold of Yud Beis Chodesh? So says Gemara Tanai, no, it's not only the Amora against the Tanaim, it's in fact a machlokes Tanaim. The Tanya, because we have a brisa that says as follows: Ubagulgolas sheyesh b'nekavechad aruch. If you have a skull that has a hole in it that's a long instead of a round hole, which we say that a hole the size of a drill hole would make the animal a trefa, but instead of being a round, it's a long elongated narrow hole. Afilu nekavim harbe, or even many different tiny holes in the skull, mitzarf l'lo mekdeach. It's that all the holes are mitzarif, or that one long hole is reshaped to make the size of a l'lo mekdeach, and if it's as big as a drill hole, then it would be a trefa. Amr Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, Sir Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam tells us that Maisa b'Inbul, there was a story in Inbul, be'echod sheniftecha gulgalto, with a person who they were doing brain surgery on. They that nifchasa gulgalto, but his skull was nifchas, his skull was missing a piece, and in order to cure him from his ailment, va'asilo chiduk shel kruya v'chaya, they must have done some sort of brain surgery where they inserted instead, Rashi points out, chaticha shel dala'as yevesha, a piece of a dried gourd shell that they stuck in his skull in the place where it was missing. The chayan, he lived, he survived. So you see that the missing skull does not necessarily make him a trefa. Missing piece of the skull does not necessarily make him a trefa because he survived. Samar lo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says back, misham raya. What, you think that's a raya? The fact that they were able to do this surgery where they replaced replace the missing piece of skull with the piece of shell. Yimosa chamahaya v'kivin shavro lav yimosa tzina miyad meis. That was in the summertime, so he managed to live through the summertime where it's warm and everything is okay. The conditions are optimal. But once it became during the cold season, during winter time, so he died right away. You think that they cured him? They didn't cure him by inserting the gourd shell. They just made it seem better for a little while, and they got him through the summer. But he was definitely a treifa. And that's why he died in the wintertime. There is a discussion in the Achronim when we say simin l'treifa yud beis chodesh. I mean, bottom line is what you see is that Rabbi Shimon Elazar's shita is where Rav Huna's shita comes from, that yud beis chodesh. Because Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, you see that it depends on season, that you need to be able to survive through all of the seasons of the year in order to not be a treifa. That something could be a treifa and look very good for in the short term, but it's not going to be able to make it through all the seasons of the year. So it's dependent on season, going through the whole cycle of the seasons of the year. So there is a discussion in the Achronim when we say Simon Latrefa Yud Beis Chodesh, the Shach in Yardea Simon Nun Zayin Sivkat Mem Gimel quotes in the name of the Torah Chatas that in the Shanim Uberes, if you have a leap year that has 13 months in the year, so how do you determine if the animal is a treifa? Do you wait 12 months or do you wait 13 months? Because that's the full year. So the Shach writes in the name of Torah Chatas, 13 months in a leap year, not 12 months. 12 months for a treifa is in a typical year. In a leap year, 13 months will determine that it's not a treifa. It has to survive the full 13 months. The Prichadash is Cholek, and he says, no, Chazal are always very careful in the way that they formulate things. Sometimes Chazal will give us a din that's a din in a year, that a year has to pass by for something to happen. Sometimes Chazal will give us a din that's a din in Yud Beis Chodesh. So when they say both Lashonos, then it gets confusing. Yud Beis Chodesh Shasa, Shasi Yud Beis Chodesh, something like that. But typically, when they say a din in terms of months, so then it's into, then the halacha is dependent on 12 months, not dependent on a year. When they say a din in terms of a year, so it's dependent on a year, whatever that year may be. Over here, Rav Huna's lashon was similar to treifa Yud Beis Chodesh. Nothing about a year. He said Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's why Prichadash says he doesn't agree with this Shach and this Torah Schatas that say that in a leap year would be 13 months. The place he points out in Sivkat and Zayin over there in Siman and Ches that you can't bring a raya from the Lashon of our Gemara. He says because it could be in the times of Chazal in Achinami it was 12 months. But nowadays the halacha would be 13 months. Why? He says because in the times of Chazal, how would they decide when to make a leap year, when not to make a leap year? When they're Ma'aber al pi ri'iya, when they're Ma'aber the Shana, based on their own calculations and their own needs and their own, you know, sometimes it'd be Ma'aber the Shana because they were for a variety of reasons, convenience reasons or any other reasons that Bezin saw fit. And it had nothing to do with the actual seasons of the year. So that's why it was always a din in 12 months. But nowadays we're ma'abr the shana based on when the seasons are going to be completely off. So since we're ma'abr based on the seasons, so therefore in those years that are leap years, we need to make them a leap year because otherwise you're not going to have a spring this year. So in order to fit everything, to fit all the seasons into the year, that's why we make the leap years, to make the seasons work out. So therefore maybe nowadays where it's completely based on the seasons, maybe nowadays it would be 13 months. That's how the Placey wants to suggest. Now, we also mentioned this idea that similar treifa kol she'ena yoledes, the shita of the Tanakama of that Brisa, that any time an animal is able to have offspring, that's clearly a sign that the animal is not a treifa. Yamshel Shlomo just points out that it's dafka yoledes, not mu'uberes. If the animal becomes pregnant, it's not a raya that it's not a treifa. It could still very well be a treifa and become pregnant. It's just not going to be able to have actual offspring. This is a discussion. The Achronim, Prichadash isn't so sure. He's not so sure that it's talui on leida as opposed to the pregnancy itself. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Bottom line of Daf Nun Zayin and Beis. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, halacha, treifa yoledes u'mishpachas. The halacha is that a treifa is able to have offspring, and a treifa's injury can get better. So the first two Tanaim in that Braisa, we do not paskin like. Amar Amemar, Hani Bey de Trefa. There were these eggs of a hen that were that was a trefa. So what's the status of the eggs? Are the eggs kosher or are they not kosher? So Shichla Kama Asira. The first grouping of eggs that come out, which Rashi points out, Osan Shayu Bame Eha Bishash Nitrefa, the eggs that were actually inside of the animal at the time that the animal became a trefa. So all of those are going to be Asir. As Rashi points out, why are they Asir? Ubar Yerech Imohu. We have a concept that the fetus is considered to be a limb of the mother. So if the mother becomes a trefa, that first grouping of eggs is considered to be the fetus. It's considered to be a limb of the mother, and therefore it too becomes a trefa. But mikan ve'elach, any subsequent eggs that may come out, havle zevze gore mumutter. We assume that those eggs are not a direct. They're not a direct product of the mother. They're a product of mother and father. They've been fertilized by the rooster. Which one? I forget which one is male. But they've been fertilized. They've been fertilized by the male, and therefore they're not considered a direct product of the mother, which is a trefa, and that's why it's going to be mutter. If you look at Rashi, mikan ve'elach hiva hazachar gorman lahem. That both the mother and the father are what causes the eggs to come out. And whenever you have something that's caused by both an iser and a heter together, it's going to be mutter. Zev zagorem is going to be mutter. That's why the subsequent eggs are going to be mutter. Frektosos, wait a second, is that really true that Zev zagorem is mutter? There is a discussion in Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph about a mule that comes from a horse and a donkey. So what's the status about mating a mule with a horse or a donkey, for that matter? Is it a problem of klayim? So says Tosos, Afagav de Besov Ksubus Paskin and Krab Yehuda Bepredos, the Mesafkle Paragos of Espinor Choshen Zaravalo. So we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a mule, which means that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's usser to mate the mule with a horse or a donkey. So he says that it's going to be usser, that we don't say it comes from a mother that is a horse, and therefore by definition it's a horse, and therefore it could mate with another horse. We don't say that we just follow who the mother is. We say that that because it comes from two different animals, we're choshish for either side, and therefore it's going to be aser. Why don't we say zevzagorim is mutter, since it has two different? So in our case, if we were to our case is parallel in or seems to be parallel in the case of the eggs of the trefa animal, that if we were to just follow straight from the fact that it comes from its mother, it would be usser. But by the fact that we say that it comes from both mother and father, that's a heter. So why don't we say the same thing by the mule, that should be a heter? So says Tosos, that when do we say, he says, Hainu b'milse d'shari kol chad ba b'nafshe. When does Zev Zagorim not help you? That's when each of the items themselves, father and mother, were both mutter. V'lo shayich zev zagorim. Aval hacha dechad asr v'chad shari, havle zev zagorim. But over here, you know clearly where the iser is, meaning a donkey and a horse are both heter. It's just that the combination of the two is what creates the iser, is what creates the mule, which is aser. Over here, the mother is a trefa, father's not a trefa. We know where the iser originates. The iser originates in the mother. So the fact that there's a father that's 100% mutter is able to be matir, even though it comes from a mother that's aser. But when it comes from two things that are mutter, the iser is created in the tarovis of the two, in the mixture of the two. So you have no davara matir, you have no one item that's matir. They're both mutter independently, but usr as a group, usr as a unit. The way some explain what's going on over here, in the Tshuvas Bar Yitzchak, he explains it based on a Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Tes, where the Ran says that Zev Zagori Mutter is based on Bittel, that the Heter is Mevatel, the Isser is Misbatel, in the heter. So it's all based on bittel, so then you could say that maybe it's connected to that Ran, the famous Ran in the Dharma, Daf Nun Beis, where the Ran explains the idea that min b'mino is zeno batel. The Ran explains that you can't have heter become batel in heter, that there is no din of bittul when you're dealing with things that are like kinds, even not only physically like kinds, like min b'mino einu batel, which is the sheet of Rabbi, but even in things that are halachically like kinds. Things that are mutter do not become batel, and things that are mutter. That's how the Ran explains why a davar sheyesh lo matirin cannot become batel. Because a davar sheyesh lo matirin, even though right now it's usser, it has inherent characteristics of heter, and anything that has inherent characteristics of heter cannot become batel in heter, because heter can't become batel in heter. That's the Ran's shita. That's based on the idea that the way bittel works is that two opposites try to overwhelm each other, and then one of them may be successful in overwhelming the other. But two like kinds don't overwhelm each other. To the contrary, they enhance each other. For instance, if you have a large pot of chicken soup, and you put in a tiny drop of trefa chicken soup. So what did that trefa chicken soup do? Did it the kosher chicken soup overwhelm the trefa chicken soup and take away the whole chicken soup flavor from the trefa chicken soup? Of course not. It enhanced the flavor of the trefa chicken soup, because a tiny little drop of chicken soup is not going to taste very good, but when you put in the whole pot of chicken soup, it tastes even better. It enhances each other. But if you have a big pot of chicken soup and you put in a tiny drop of milk, you don't taste the milk at all anymore. The chicken soup has overwhelmed the milk. When you're dealing with two opposites, they overwhelm each other, and the one that's in the majority overwhelms the minority. When you're dealing with two like kinds, they enhance each other. They don't overwhelm each other. So just as that is true on a mitzias level, on a physical level, the Ran suggests the same is true on a halachic level. When you're dealing with two items that are halachically opposite to each other, one mutter, one usser, the heter can overwhelm the isser and take away all the characteristics of isser. But when you're dealing with two items that are both technically heter or have characteristics of heter, like a davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that's usser now but will be mutter after some time, which is an indication that it has characteristics of heter, then it's not going to be overwhelmed by heter. To the contrary, it will be enhanced by heter. That's the Ran's shita about heter not becoming batel b'heter. So that's what the Bar Yitzchak explains in Yardeya Sim Lamed Aleph Anaf Dalid, that that's what's going on in this Tosos over here. It's quite a chiddush to suggest in the Tosos. He says that's what's going on in the Tosfos. The reason Zevzeh Gorim doesn't work by the mule is because it's heter beheter. And the whole reason Zevzeh Gorim works is all midin bittel, that the heter overwhelms and is mevatel the iser. But when you have heter and heter, there is no such thing as a din of bittel. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Eisei Rav Ashi la Meimer, so Rav Ashi asks on a Meimer the following, V'shavin be-beitzah trefa sh'asurim nesha gadol be-isser, that it says that everyone agrees that a beitza of a trefa is asur because it was gadol be-isser, that a beitza that comes from a trefa animal is asur because it grew inside of an asur animal. So that's a major kasha on what we just said. We just said that it's zevzeh gorim and it's going to be mutter. So the answer is the Gemara, no. Hasam b'desafna me'ara. When we say that it's asur, it means that there was no male. The egg came out when the animal warmed itself by the ground. It had nothing to do with a male. And that's why it's going to be usser, because it was purely the pure and only goreim was the mother. The ground is just what the mother used to warm itself up to get the egg out, but there was no male that was not a trefa that was involved in the egg coming out. So Frakta Gemara Velishnile Bishikh Lakama, you could have given a better answer. You could have said that the case that was usser was Shikh Lakama. It was that first grouping of eggs that came out that was in the animal when it became a trefa. So it says, now im kein gadla gamra mi bayalei. If that were the case, then the formulation should not have been mipnei shegadla be'isser, because it had grown be'isser. It should have been mipnei shegamra be'isser. If these were the eggs that were already inside the animal when it became a trefa, they were not gadol be'isser, because when they started, the animal was not yet a trefa. They were only nigmar be'isser, because they were when they were completed, when they were formed completely, that's when they became usser. It was halfway through their formulation and through their growth that the iser kicked in, that the animal became a treifa. So frankly, Gemara el hadd tanan. But what are we going to do with the following mishnah? Vlad treifa, the offspring of a treifa. Reb Elazar amar lo yikrav l'gabi mizbeach. Reb Yishua amar yikrav. Reb Elazar says you're not allowed to bring on the mizbeach, and Reb Yishua says you are allowed to bring on the mizbeach. But my kamiflagi. So what are they arguing about? Apparently, they're arguing about whether the offspring of a treifa is a treifa or not. So what's the case? B'shenitrefa ulbesof ibra. They must be arguing about a case where the animal was a treifa, then became pregnant. Is that offspring considered to be treifa as well, and therefore no good for the mizbeach, or is it going to be okay? Reb Elazar savar zevzagorim aser. Reb Elazar holds it cannot be brought on the mizbeach because obviously if the animal became a treifa and then became pregnant, the product of that, the offspring is going to be caused both al yedei the mother and al yedei the father. It's zev zeh gorim, and Reb Elazar holds zev zeh gorim is aser. Reb Yishua savar zev zeh gorim mutter, and Yishua holds zev zeh gorim is mutter. So, frank the Gemara, ihachi, but if that's the whole machlokas, it's all about zeveze gorem, admiflagi legvoa, liflagi lehediot. Instead of arguing about a case of hegdish, can you bring it as a carbon, can you not bring it as a carbon, why don't they just argue, very simply, in a case of a regular person wants to eat it, do you consider it a treif or not? Why do you have to argue about a case of karbanos? Just argue about a case of a regular person of using it for normal eating purposes. Answers the Gemara, Lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Yeshua, wants to tell you just how strongly Rabbi Yeshua holds his position. Da'afilu gavoa nami shari. The Rabbi Yeshua holds that yes, the zeviz agorim is mutter, not only for personal chol use, but even for hegdish use. That's how mutter it is. That's how strongly Rabbi Yeshua holds his position. So frek the Gemara, v'liflagu lehedyot, lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Elazar. Da'afilu lehedyot nami aser. Well, why don't they have the machlokas about using it for a hedyot? And that would highlight not how strongly Rabbi Yeshua holds his opinion, but that would highlight how strongly Rabbi Eliezer holds his opinion. That Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that it's aser even for a hedyot. Not only is it aser for hegdish, but even for hedyot. So why don't we frame the machlokas in the case of hedyot in order to highlight Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? Why are we favoring Rabbi Yeshua's opinion to highlight by framing the case in the case of hegdish? Answers the Gemara, koach de'etera adiflei. Whenever we have the option of framing a machlokas where we highlight the opinion of the one who's strict, or framing the machlokas in a way where we highlight the opinion of the one who's lenient, we always choose to highlight the opinion of the one who's lenient. And the reason is, koach de'etera adiflei, that is a stronger shita. The shita that's mekel is the stronger shita. Rashi writes, because a person who's mekel shows you that he shows great confidence in his psak. To be machmir, you don't need to show great confidence in your psak, because if you just want to be cautious, you can be machmir. You could even be machmir on things that are mutter. That's the safe way to play it. So we always want to highlight koach tatera. That's not Rashi here. That's Rashi Maseches Beitza Dav Beis Amud Beis. The Tzlach Maseches Beitza Dav Beis says that koach tatera adif works because it works dafka and dinim d'oraisa. Koach d'etera adif means that what would I have thought had I not had any known shita about this? Meaning, let's say I would have remained mesupak about this halacha. What would have my natural position then tended to be? So if it was a din d'rabbanan, I would have said, okay, safik d'rabbanan l'kula. If it was din d'oraisa, I would have said safik d'oraisa l'chumra. I would have been machmir misafik. Koach d'etera adifle tells me that the idea of koach d'etera adifle is that since the default position is to be machmir in the case of safek, that's why it takes a greater koach to be mekil. The person who holds the kula, the guy who holds the shita that holds the kula, expresses greater koach because he takes me out of the default position. The one who goes the chumra holds like the default position. Tzlach then just points out that if that's the pshat in koach d'etera adiflei, you would not say koach d'etera adiflei on a din d'rabbanan, because by a din d'rabbanan the default position is l'kula, savik d'rabbanan is l'kula. So you would not say koach d'etera adiflei on a din d'rabbanan. You would only say it on a din d'arayis. So Tzlach deals with this at the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, where he's dealing with muktzah. So you got to figure out how koch that tera adiflei fits into the story with muktzah. That's the subject of that Tzlach over there. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, umodim bebeitzah streifa shasura. And when we said that they're moda that beitzah streifa is aser, what's the case where we're moda that where everyone's moda that a beitzah streifa is aser? But the safna me'ara dechad gorimu. That's the case where the animal warmed itself from the ground, where it's only one gorim. So even though you have machlokas where the zevzeh gorim is aser, that's when it's zevzeh gorim. But when it's safna me'ara, it's only one gorim, then it's going to be vaday muter. Ravach, the vaday aser rather, when the only gorim is the mother who's a treifa. Ravacha savrla k'derav acha bar Yaakov v'masinla l'dameimar k'da amran. The preceding discussion we just had within the shita of Ameimar, who again, Ameimar was started at the very bottom in Zayin Beis, where he told us about the eggs that came out of a treifa, that the first batch is usher, afterwards is mutter. That's all assuming, like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who we started with today, that tells us that a treifa's yoledes. That's if you assume that it's possible for a treifa to be yoledes. But Ravina lo savla k'd Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Ravina does not hold that like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. He holds that a treifa cannot be yoledes, and therefore the whole discussion about a meimar is going to have to be a little bit different. Because how can you start talking about offspring of the treifa if you hold that a treifa can't have offspring? A meimar talks about the first batch of eggs and then the hens that come out of the second batch of eggs. What are you talking about? It can't have offspring. Then the discussion can't begin about the eggs that come out of a treifa. So Ravina does not hold like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and therefore he has to retranslate Ameimar. He has to reformulate the entire din of Ameimar. Umasin lo da Ameimar b'hai lishna. So he teaches Ameimar in the following lashon. Amar Ameimar, hani bei desafik treifa. The suffik treifa, those eggs that come out of an animal that's a suffik treifa, not a treifa, suffik treifa. So the first batch, we put them aside, set them aside so that we can see what happens. Ihadravatana Sharyan. If more eggs come out after that first batch, then you know that the mother must not be a treifa, and therefore the first batch of eggs is also mutter, because a treifa would not have had a second batch of eggs. V'ilo, but if it doesn't produce any more eggs after that, and it only has this first batch of eggs that were already inside the mother when it became a treifa, then you know that those eggs are going to be usser. So Frekli Gemara Yisfei Ravashi La Meimar, Ravashi asks on this version of a Meimar, Umodim Bebeitzas Treifa Sha'asurim Nei Shagadol Be'isser, everyone is modded that a Beitzas Treifa is usser because it was Gadol Be'isser, so don't you see that it is able to produce offspring, because you're saying that Beitz Astrefa, that it is able to produce eggs. So Amalei Hasam B'deshech L'kama. So he says, no, that's not a raya, that's talking about the first batch that comes out right after it became a trefa. Those were eggs that were produced inside the mother before it became a trefa, and then it became a trefa while they were already inside the mother. So Im Kein Gadla, Gamra Mibayalei. Wait a second, if that's the case, that it's talking about Shechel Kama, then instead of saying Gadla, that they grew inside of a treifa, it should have said Gamra, that they were completed inside of a treifa. Not that they grew from the beginning inside of a treifa. Answers the Gemara, Tani Gamra. Okay, change it. Change the word. It should say Gamra instead of Gadla. Fine. Ella Haditznan, but what about the following Mishnah? Vlad Treifa, the Mishnah we quoted before, but again, now we're having this discussion within the second version of a Meimar. Vlad Treifa, Reb Lazar Omer, Lo Yikrav Lagavi Mizbech, Reb Yishu Omer Yikrav, B'Maika Mifgi, what's the Machlokas about when we discuss whether a Vlad Treifa can be brought in the Mizbech? Kishe Ibro L'Besof Nitrifa, it must be a case where the animal became pregnant and then became a Treifa, because the reverse is impossible, according to this version of a Meimar. It can't become a treifa and then become pregnant, so it had to have become pregnant and then become a treifa. Reb Lazar Savar Ubar Yerech Imahu. So Reb Lazar holds the Ubar is Yerech Imo, is considered part of the mother, a limb of the mother, and therefore it's going to be Asur. Just like the mother's a treifa, the eggs are going to be treifa. if Rabbi Shua savor uber lav yerachimahu, and Rabbi Shua holds that uber is lav yerachimahu, that's what the machlokas is about. So within the first version of Amemar, that a treifa can have offspring, we understood the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua is about zevzagorim. Within the second version of Amemar, that treifa cannot have offspring, the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua has to be about uber yerachimahu or uber lav yerachimahu. So ihachi, if that's the case, that the miflugula gval, miflugula hediot, instead of arguing about a case of Hegdish, why doesn't Rabbi Lezner and Rabbi Shua just have the same machlokas, uber yarachimo, uber lav yarachimo, in regards to Hedyot using it? Why is it only about Karbanos? And so the Gemara, lo diachle kochot Rabbi Shua, it wants to dafka have this machlokas about Karbanos, to let you know just how seriously, just how strongly Rabbi Shua holds that it's mutter, that even in the case of Gavoa, he's going to hold that it's mutter. Frek the Gemara, v'lifligu behedyot, lo diachle kochot Rabbi Lezner, why don't they instead argue in the case of Hedyot, to let you know how strongly Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's aser. Again, koach de'atera adaflei. We go with the koach de'atera. Very strange lashon the Gemara has over here when it asks why don't they argue in the case of hedyot? E hachi ad miflugu gaval liflugu behedyot. If so, makes it sound like if you're going to say the whole machlokas is about uber yerachimo or uber lav yerachimo and not about what we said before, which is zevzagoreim, then why do they argue dafka about gavoa and not hedyot? What do you mean? That the question why do they argue about gavoa and not hedyot has nothing to do with whether the machlokas is about uber yerachimo or the machlokas is about zevzagoreim. It's not an ihachi. Tosos notes the problem. Tosos writes ihachi ad miflugu gavoa liflugu lahedyot lashon ihachi. He says the language of Ihachi over here is exceedingly difficult. The Bekol Inyan Yachal Hakshos came because we could have asked this either way. No matter how we explained the Machlokas, this Kasha would have been a Kasha. V'tzarech limtzo tam lamahayim misyashiv hadu milfugi legavoa iav mefarish pluktai buber yarachima hu yose mehashta dumukla bezev zagorim ulidach lishna ipcha. The Lashon of Ihachi also appeared in the first version of the discussion on Amemar, and you have to explain how that lashon fits, meaning in the first version you would need to explain why it's better to have a machlokas about dafka kadshim if you're going to explain that the machlokas is about uber yerech imo, and according to the second version you'd have to explain why is it better that the machlokas would be about kadshim if it were about zevzagorim, that we have to then ask ihachi, if you're going to tell me it's about uber yerech imo, why do they now argue about kadshim? You need to come up with some explanation, Tosa says. And I don't have it, Tosa says. I don't have a good explanation of why that should be the case. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter, umodim vade beitzas treifa shasura, but the shechlakama, we said in the case where everyone's moda that a beitzas treifa zaser is must be according to the second lashon. Obviously, he's talking about that first grouping of eggs that come out because there is no subsequent grouping of eggs according to this lashon that a treifa cannot be aledas. My time, why is it aser though? Gufahi, it's considered to be part of the animal. That's why it's going to be aser. Now, to what extent the eggs of a hen are considered part of the animal itself versus the ubar of another animal is a discussion throughout Shas. Tosos raises the point over here that it seems to be a bit of a stira, because Tosos in Dibur HaMasechta Hilchasa seems to say that if you look at the first line of Tosis, the Maid Maskinan Hashta Hilchsa de Trefa Eni Aledes Lomitukma Pluktayud Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shua Elabu Uber Yerachimo. According to this second lashon of Amemar, that a Trefa cannot be Yoledes, so the whole Machlokas Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shua is about Uber Yerachimo, and Rabbi Shua Savar Lav Yerachimo. But by a Beitza, by an egg, even though by an Uber he holds Uber Lav Yerachimo, by an egg he holds that it's going to be usher, it's going to be considered part of the mother. Sounds like an egg is more part of the mother than an uber normally is in the mother. However, in Baba Kama, it sounds the opposite. It sounds that a para, that when a para does damage, we say that gova mivlada, dafka by a para, not by a chicken that does damage. If a chicken does damage, you would not be gova from the eggs, because the egg isn't really part of the mother. It's not. So it's a stira, Tosus points out. When do we consider the egg more part of the mother than we would consider an uber? When do we consider an uber more part of the mother than we would the eggs? So Tosus answers, third line from the bottom of the page, it really depends on what stage the eggs are at. If the eggs are already completed and they're therefore not completely attached on the inside, so that's when we consider them to be somewhat independent. And by a mazik, you would have to bring a raya if you want to take, if you want to collect from the eggs, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. You would need to bring a raya that the at what stage the eggs were at when the animal did the damage. Okay, says the Gemara, halachic statement, v'hilchasa b'zachar kol shnei masar chodesh b'nekeva kol shnei yoledes. If you want a surefire sign that an animal is not a trefa, so if it's a male animal, the only sure sign is that if it survives 12 months, you then know that the injury that it sustained did not make it a trefa. If it's a female animal, then kol shnei yoledes. Whenever the animal is able to have offspring, then you know that the animal is not a trefa. If it's eina yoledes, then it likely is a trefa. But if it's able to have offspring, that's a surefire sign that it is not a trefa. Fine. So we basically pass on like the second version of a meimar and. Against Rav Acha bar Yaakov, we pass that trefas ena yoledas, the way the Gemara says it. Okay, Amrav Huna, kol birya shein bo etzem ena meskayim yud beis chodesh. Any creature that does not have any bones cannot survive for 12 months. Amrav Papa Shmamina mid Rav Huna. So we see from Rav Huna, hada Amr Shmuel kishos shetliya biive asura, that a cucumber that has become wormy while it's still attached to the ground is asur, meaning the halacha is that bugs, worms, those types of creatures, you're not allowed to eat. They're usr. But that's only if they once crawled on the ground. If they were born inside of a detached fruit, if they were created somehow inside of a detached fruit, then they are not usr unless they poke their heads out of the fruit or something like that. But if it crawled on the ground, it's going to be usr. So when the vegetables are still attached to the ground, they're considered to be the ground itself, and therefore any worms inside of them are going to be usher. But now that we have this information that a worm, since a worm doesn't have a bone, a worm would never be able to survive 12 months. So now you have the following. Hani tamni dekada, if you have dates in a jar, lebasar treser yarchi shasa, and they've been in a jar for 12 months, meaning they've been detached from the ground for 12 months, and you find worms in them 12 months later that are alive, sharyan. Then you know that those worms are mutter because they never crawled on the ground. They were obviously born in the fruit because they never would have survived 12 months if they were in the fruit when the fruit was still attached to the ground. Amar Rav, next halacha. Less baka bar yoma. There's no such thing as a gnat that survives a full day. V'less didva bar shasa. There's no such thing as a fly that survives a full year. Amleir papa labaye va'amri inchi shev shni imra baksa mi baka. But don't people say that for 7 years the female gnat kept away from the male gnat? Da amrele, because the female gnat was mad at the male gnat and told him, chazise labar machuza desacha b'maya. You once saw a person from machuza swimming in the water. The sal. And it came out and he wrapped himself in towels, and then you went and sat on him and sucked out some of his blood, and it was such delicious juicy human blood, and you didn't let me know, the female gnat says to the male gnat, and that's why the female gnat stayed away from the male gnat for 7 years because she was so angry at him. But bottom line is, if the female gnat was able to stay away from to stay angry at the male gnat for 7 years, obviously it survived more than a day. So how can you say that a gnat can only survive a day? Samalei, so he says, that's your kasha. Ultaimech, lushitaska, that you're going to ask such a kasha. Hada amriyinshi, what about the other expression that people say? That shisin mane parzala tolule lebaka bukurnase, that a gnat has 60 mana of iron in its hammer, miika, iugufe kamahavi. The gnat itself is way less than 60 mana. The gnat itself weighs almost nothing. How can you say that it has 60 mana worth of iron in its stinger? That's impossible. It doesn't even weigh anything close to that. So, elba mani de tu, what you have to say is, In its world, its stinger has 60 mana of iron. So on its own level, in its own tiny little Disney universe or something, you know, on its own little level. So achanami bishani didu. In its years, when a lifetime is a day, so 7 years is whatever. It's one-tenth of a day or something like that. That's what you have to say is... It is meant when we say that for 7 years the female gnat stayed away from the male gnat. Tanana, so we had a Mishnah. Behema balas hei raglayim, o she'en la ela shalosh, hei ze mum. If a behema has 5 legs or 3 legs, it's a mum. Amar av huna lo shanu, ela shachas v'yasar b'yad. Av l'chas v'yasar b'regel, trefanami havya. That's only if it's in the 4 legs. But in the hind legs, if it has extra or missing hind leg, then not only is it a balas mum, where it can't be brought on the mizbeach, it's also a trefa. It can't even be eaten by a hedyot. My taima, kol yasar kenot. Dummy. And the reason is, even with an extra leg, is anything extra is considered as if it's missing. That we view anything extra as if it's missing. There was a certain animal that had 2 sanya divi. If you look in the picture at the beginning of the article, it's part of the stomach, the sanya divi. So it had 2 of them instead of one of them. I saw the Ravina v'tarfa midravuna. They brought it to Ravina, and Ravina said it's trefa based on Ravuna's idea that any yeser is kinatal. It's as if it's missing. So if it were missing, it would be a trefa. But if the 2 pour into each other, then it's going to be a kasher, because then it's considered one unit. It's not considered an extra. It's not considered 2 separate things. Hahi guvsav. There was a tube of flesh that went from the reticulum to the omasum of the animal, the 2 parts of the stomach. So Ravashi the mitrafa. Ravashi wanted to say that it's a trefa, because again, it had this extra piece that's considered kinatal. It's as if the stomach was missing. Amle Rafuna Marbar Chil Ravashi Kolani Chivi Baryasa Hachiyasli says, no, all the wild animals have this piece of flesh. It's not unusual at all. Another animal had this piece of flesh that went from the bekasi to the paunch, to the karsa. So Marbar Ravashi says, based on what you just told me, that these wild animals have this extra piece of flesh, in this case also we should say it's kasher. What are you talking about? We said that it's common to have from the bekasi to the huvlila, not common to have an extra piece of flesh from the bekasi to the karsa. That's a totally different issue. You can't automatically say that's kasher. Where we know that we have such a mesora that it's normal, it's normal. Where we don't have such a mesora, it's not normal. So the chief butcher of Tzipuri was made in front of Rebbe. If you have 2 intestines that come out of an animal together, that's a trefa. But by an oaf, a similar condition would be kosher. But this is all if it comes out of 2 different spots. But if they both come out of the same spot and they finish within an etzba of each other, that's going to be kosher. Means that they reattach within an etzba of where they come out separately, then it's going to be kosher. So one says that it's if they reattach, if they go mixed together again. And the other one says, no, even if they don't actually reattach to each other. So I understand if it's saying that it has to reattach, after, even though it comes out at 2 separate points, it reattaches and forms 1 tube, that's adka etzba, that where does it that have to happen? Within an etzba of where it comes out. But if it never has to actually reattach, what does adka etzba mean? So adka etzba milamata. Adka etzba means that it has to be an etzba wide when it finally attaches at the bottom where it's going to excrete its waste. That's where it needs to be reattached, and it has to be at least the width of an etzba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im nitla anotz psula. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that if the down of the bird is taken from it, it becomes possible because the down has a din of skin. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Dover Echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel both hold the same shita. Rabbi Yehuda Ada Amr. Rabbi Yehuda says that the down taken makes it possible because he holds that the down has a din of skin. Rabbi Shmuel the Tanan. Rabbi Shmuel Omer hanotz mitzarefes. Rabbi Shmuel holds that when you have machshavos of pigle on a bird, so machshava on the down is mitzarif with a machshava on any other part of the animal, of the bus or whatever else, that would make it pigle. So you see, he considers the down part of the skin. No, the 2 shitos are not necessarily related at all, because the halachas of pigle and the halachas of trefas are not necessarily related at all. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the down is critical when it comes to trefas, because without the down there's nothing to protect the animal. But when it comes to pigle, maybe he holds like the Rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel only holds his shita when it comes to pigle. Avul inyan treifa, aguni lo megid. But with when it comes to treifa, if it it doesn't protect, and therefore it's not going to be so critical when it comes to treifa. Okay, Mitzvah tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah.